Blog Talk Radio.
There's no feeling like this feeling I get loving you. There's no feeling like this feeling, Father, abiding in you. All this love, Father, that's abiding in you. There's no feeling like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, I'm in love with you. Sweet, sweet love, Daddy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of all majesty, you're my love. Like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, I'm in love with you. Filibore del Ro, Father, like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, being one with you. Ooh. Abba, Father, I'm in love.
Good evening, everybody. This is the prison minister, chaplain, pastor, both, Scott Warnick here. You know, before I begin with the good news of a world set free, I want to ask y'all a question. Can you admit that some of your attempts at humility have been driven by pride? God, in our pursuit to be free of pride, never let us delight in false humility. Help us not to be the kind of person who goes into great detail about what he or she has seen and whose unspiritual mind puffs him or her up with idle notions. Your word teaches that false humility and harsh treatment of the body lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Amen. Well, I'd like to keep this ministry going if I could, and without your blessings and help on doing so, and if you can, you can make any checks or money orders out to HFCC and send them to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church, P.O. Box 748, Crowley, Texas 76036. And you want to be sure to mark it in your memo for Pastor Scott Warnick. Well, this is the good news of a world set free. They shall not hurt, and we'll continue this, but first this is Isaiah 11:9. I apologize if you are keeping up with the word. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. To him, the deception is what appears normal. It's the truth that seems odd. We need to grasp the fact that Satan has constantly deceived and manipulated mankind on every conceivable level. The prophecies of the book of Revelation only begin to scratch the surface of what must take place for the kingdom of God to be established. One message that comes through loud and clear is that Christ will have to tear virtually everything down and start over. It will be the only way to root out the last vestiges of Satan's system. Tearing down and starting over, when you read through the book of Revelation, you learn that it isn't only the obvious areas of deception, such as Satan's end-time political and religious systems, that must be rooted out and destroyed. At Christ's return, everything will come crashing down and be swept away. He will start over afresh. Everything that Satan had a hand in building, governments, political systems, economic systems, educational systems, entertainment, media, and information systems, every form of society and civilization that we have invented and established over the course of man's history must be replaced with something far superior. Why, we may ask? Because everything in this present world has been built on wrong foundation. It is all founded on Satan's deceptions and outright lies. It has been built on his values, constructed to his specifications, you might say. Almost without exception, this world's systems have all been constructed with no guidance or direction from God. This is not God's world. It is not his society. It is not his civilization. It is not built on his values, laws, or way of life. Satan has deceived the world for centuries and organized it according to his values rather than God's. Satan's deception is an active, continuing process. At every turn, he has taken mankind farther and farther away from God and his instructions for us. Each generation has built on layer after layer of previously established deception. Just as Satan deceived the whole world in the past, he is deceiving it now, and will continue to delude it until he is put away at Christ's return. Then everything he has built must be completely crushed and swept away. It's not pleasant to contemplate, but much of the horrendous destruction and devastation poured out on the earth as described in the book of Revelation is God's judgment on mankind and civilization. As we noted earlier in my past teachings, Satan will embark on a frenzy of destruction as the end of his rule draws near and he wages a desperate war to thwart the returning of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what is left of Satan's empire will be annihilated by Jesus as he assumes the role of King of Kings. Just as a new building cannot successfully be built on the rotting foundation of a destroyed structure, God must raise the remnants of Satan's edifice before he can build a new foundation. You know, now, this is going to bring us to a new kind of government, people. Because at Jesus' return, those who have been God's faithful followers over the centuries, who have successfully resisted Satan's deceit and rebellion, will be resurrected to immortality. We can find this in 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54 and 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. You see, God's word says of these people, and Revelation 26, and I quote, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years." Christ, as we have seen, will return to reign on the earth. Zechariah 14, verses 4 and 9. Now, Revelations 5:10 says of those resurrected to be with Christ, and I quote from the NIV, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." See, God has in mind an awesome purpose for his faithful servants. They are not destined for a life of idleness and ease in heaven for eternity. God has called and is training them for a great responsibility to reign with Christ as rulers and priests to build a perfect, just, and godly civilization here on earth. You see, Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of God, will be a literal kingdom ruling over the nations of the earth. Daniel 7:27, referring to the establishment of his kingdom, tells us that the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers and worship will worship and obey him. Now that's from the New International Version, and that's from the 14th verse of Daniel 7. Because you see, this tells us even more clearly that this will be a literal world-ruling government. Daniel describes God the Father giving Jesus, the Messiah, authority and responsibility over the earth. He tells us this, and I quote, "To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." You see, the governmental systems of mankind for centuries have proven their inherent inability to solve our many problems. Now they will be replaced by a ruler and form a government that can at least solve those problems. Jesus Christ will personally rule the peoples of the earth. This central truth is at the heart of the gospel, the good news that Jesus taught. The focus of his message is the announcement of a coming world government. We can all read this in Luke 21:31. That will not be administered by blinded people who have been duped by Satan. It will not be ruled by selfishly motivated people, but by Jesus Christ himself. And that's from verse 27 of Luke 21. You see, building a God-centered civilization, we have to look back at the Hebrew prophets, which give us dozens of prophecies throughout the Old Testament about this exciting time. One that perhaps best describes the differences between the world tomorrow and today's world is found in Isaiah 11, verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You see, Isaiah's prophecy describes how during that time, even the nature of animals will be changed. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." That's from verse 6 of Isaiah 11. Today's world is full of hurting and destruction. It is blinded to the knowledge of God we so desperately need. Once Satan is removed, along with his attitude of vanity, jealousy, greed, selfishness, and hostility, humanity can begin to learn and then experience peace. Satan will no longer be around to blind the world and enshroud it in spiritual darkness. The world will at least experience freedom from Satan's spiritual enslavement. Let's look at John 8:32 for that. People will at least, or at last, learn godly values and the right way to live. The way to prevent and eliminate pain and misery. The prophet Micah describes this time of unprecedented peace. And we can find this in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Micah was pretty strong. But with Satan-induced blindness removed, men, women, boys, and girls everywhere will at least begin to recognize the blessings that come from following God's way. They will eagerly stream to Jerusalem, Christ's capital city, to learn his way of life. If you look at Isaiah 11:6 and what it tells us, because the prophecies of Christ's rule in one of the Bible's best known but least understood passages, the prophet Isaiah describes the kind of ruler Jesus will be. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David. Now I'm continuing on Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. See, in contrast to the injustice, incompetence, and oppression that so often characterizes governments today, judgment and justice will be hallmarks of Christ's coming reign. A new, vastly different kind of epidemic will break out throughout the world, affecting marriages, families, communities, and nations. It will be an epidemic of peace, as Isaiah prophesied. In verse 7, there will be no end, quote unquote, to peace under Jesus Christ's reign. The Prince of Peace will bring calm and goodwill to a world that has never known lasting peace. Under Christ's righteous rule, mankind will at least learn God's ways and experience a wonderful peace. Educational institutions will teach people how to live, not just how to make a living. Biblical principles for healthy and lasting relationships will be thoroughly explained. The multiple millions of people who have never known God's laws or ways in a world blinded by Satan for thousands of years will at least have access to that wonderful saving knowledge. Boy, I can't wait for that. But the millennial kingdom and beyond Jesus Christ will usher in a literal kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. But this is not the end of the story. You have to notice again in Revelation 11, verse 15, which was quoted in part earlier. And I'll quote it all. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." See, Jesus Christ will reign over the nations in a literal kingdom for 1,000 years. That we've read and I've quoted many times from Revelation 20, verses 3 through 7. Yet we are also told in the passage just quoted that he will reign forever. In other words, the 1,000-year reign, commonly called or known to all of us as the millennium, from the Latin for 1,000 years, is only the beginning of Jesus' eternal reign in the kingdom of God. Indeed, the reign that Christ will share with the resurrected saints during this time will be for the very purpose of offering entry into the eternal kingdom of God to all mankind. Millions of physical human beings alive at Christ's return will live through the devastation of the prophesied end time events into the millennium, after which many more generations will be born and live. They will all be given an opportunity for eternal life, to be changed from their physical lives and bodies to spirit, and to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. When he taught about the kingdom of God, Jesus made it clear that ultimately it is an eternal kingdom, not one that lasts only 1,000 years. You see, in Matthew 19:16, we read of a wealthy young man who asked Jesus a fundamental question. And he said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus explained to him that he needed to keep God's commandments and be perfect. Verse 21. When it became clear that the young man was not willing to do all that would be required, Jesus went on to say in verse 24 that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Here, entry into the kingdom of God is equated with eternal life. Yes, the millennial reign of Christ will open the door for millions of human beings to be saved and enter the eternal kingdom of God. The millennium, a time of unparalleled peace, happiness, and prosperity, will be just a foretaste of the even greater eternal kingdom. Unknown to most people, God established a series of festivals revealed in the Bible that picture how he will eventually reconcile humanity to himself. In the process represented by the festivals, we learn why God allows Satan to exist until Jesus Christ returned to the earth to establish the kingdom of God. Now, Satan's final role, the Bible reveals that Satan plays one final role after Christ's return and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Earlier, we read that Satan will be bound so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. Revelation 20, verse 3. Y'all remember that? But then, after these things, he must be released for a little while. And that's in the same verse. During the millennium, many will be born who will not be exposed to Satan's influence. God's way will be the only way they will have ever known. Yet the scriptures reveal that God tests people to see if their obedience is from the heart. And we can read that in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, and Revelation 2, verse 10. One way he does this is to allow them to choose between good and evil. And we read that in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And if you don't believe me, I'll take a second here and let you look it up. You see, the book of Revelations describes one such way this choice will be presented at the end of the millennium. Now, notice how it will occur. Revelations 20, verses 7 through 9 of the NIV. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Do y'all remember that? To gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. You see, God does not reveal whether this is the only test. He will give then to separate those who sincerely want to obey and follow him from those who don't. But it will certainly be the final and most significant test. It will be a vital part of the judgment process to determine once and for all where any root of the devil's attitudes and thinking remain on earth. Here, at the end of the millennium, those who have chosen to follow Satan will be gathered together at once and destroyed. Then comes the time for Satan's permanent removal. As told to us in verse 10, this portion I pulled from the ESV, that's the English Standard Version, and I quote, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." I'll be right back.
There's no feeling like this feeling I get loving you. There's no feeling like this feeling, Father, abiding in you. All this love, Father, that's abiding in you. There's no feeling like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, I'm in love with you. Sweet, sweet love, Daddy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of all majesty, you're my love. Like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, I'm in love with you. Filibore del Ro, Father, like this feeling I get loving you. Abba, Father, being one with you.
at last, you know, he will not be able to deceive anyone ever again. Because following Satan's final rebellion, there will be a general resurrection of humanity. All those who lived in Satan's world without a real opportunity for salvation. And that's verses 5 and 11 through 12 of Revelation 20. These will be able, to compare their former life under Satan's dominion with life under the rule of God, and decide whether or not to accept God's way and eternal life in his kingdom. A wonderfully transformed heaven and earth, and the end, there will be only God and those who have chosen his way rather than Satan's. Continuing further in the book of Revelation, John describes another incredible sequence of events after the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the general resurrection period. Revelation 21:1, where John describes this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. In this new world, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that's out of verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the King James Version, states Satan's rule as God of this world will be but a vanishing memory. Revelations 21:4 tells us that the world will be like when Satan's influence is no more. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So let me ask, is there really a evil? Yes, absolutely. And other demons besides. But God assures us the time is coming when Satan, his demons, and their works, the physical suffering, misery, mental anguish, and mourning they bring will be no more. I wish to say to you this. May you have the wisdom, strength, and love for truth to resist Satan's deceptions and be there to see that wonderful day. Amen. I really mean that from my heart.
Yes, I walked on by. Well, I smelled on the left, and I smelled on the right, but I turned, let them die, walked on by. I turned and let them die, walked on by. Oh, I walked on by. Yes, I walked on. Well, Jesus said, if it's not born of my spirit, turn and let them die. Turn and let them die. Walk on by. Turn and let them die. Walk on by. Oh, I walked on by. Yes, I walked on by. Well, I smelled on the left, and I smelled on the right, but I turned and let them walk on by. I turned and let them walk on by. and I walk on by. Turn and let them die, walk on by. Oh, I walked on by. Yes, I walked on by. You won't need them where you're going, in the midst of a storm of fire. So turn and let them die, walk on by. Let them die, walk on by. Oh, I walked on by. Yes, I walked on by. Well, I walked on by. Yes, I walked on by.
You know, I was reading the book of Jeremiah today, and this morning I came across a verse, and it was Jeremiah 39:18, and I was reading from the New King James. I want to read this to you, because this is, I feel, is a good piece of scripture. And again, I'll repeat, it's Jeremiah 39:18. I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Lord, we pray you will be with us in the most difficult and trying areas of our lives, helping us in ways we may not even be able to comprehend. We know that even though there may be troubles ahead, when we walk with you, you won't let us fall. When we go through difficult situations, we won't complain, for we know you will make a way through or a means of escape. Amen. I want to thank you for joining me again this evening. Thursday night, I'm going to talk about, are we living in the time of the end? I think that's going to be just as good. Again, I enjoyed speaking with you tonight. Thank you, and have a good night and a blessed one.